realize, cast him out. He is not going to say no. No matter who you are, what you think you've done, how bad you think you've been, you can be saved. It's an amazing invitation. You can turn to the book of John, the Gospel of John. One more to say on the announcements. I know if Randy were here in the room, he would have said, it's Irma's birthday also. And so we're happy for that. So the Gospel of John, Gospel of John chapter 1. That's where we're going to be today. As I was looking at and started reading John, and this just caught me, and I was looking into it, and I got excited about it. I thought it was just really amazing and worth talking about. I do not have the time to give all these verses the attention that they deserve, so forgive me about that. But I got to get through to what I'm wanting to focus on, and I'm going to be focusing on verse 5. But we're going to go ahead and read chapter 1 from verse 1 through verse 5 right now. This is John, his gospel. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Lord Jesus, we want to praise You today. We do glorify You. We lift Your name up and no other. Lord Jesus, we're here. We have life because of You, and we have eternal life because You died on the cross, Lord, and You rose again victorious. And Lord, we're grateful for this. Receive our praise today. Lord, we want to know You better, and today we're going to focus on Your Word, and we ask that it would have an impact on our life. Lord Jesus, if anybody here today is not saved, if they do not know You, Lord, I pray that they'd be able to reject any false imagination that they've had or any false security that they've come to trust in. Lord, that they would give themselves wholly to You and that they would confess their sin and that they would trust in Your sacrifice and that they would be saved today, Lord Jesus. We ask this in Your name. Amen. Amen. Boy, John gets right into it right off the bat in his book. Isn't that interesting? I mean, some of the other Gospels you see, it's kind of like a slow, right, introductory, let's, you know, talk about Jesus. And Mark is a little quicker too. But John, I mean, he just jumps right in to a doctrinal statement that's just astounding. I mean, if anybody ever says, where in the Bible does it ever claim that Jesus is God? Just take him to John chapter 1 verse 1 right there. He starts his book off saying, in the beginning was the Word. Now that sounds awfully quite similar to how Genesis, the whole book of the Bible, begins. It begins saying, in the beginning, God. Right? And you know what John says? He says, in the beginning was the Word. Amen. Well, you know who the Word is, right? You know who that's talking about. That's talking about Jesus Christ. That's the Word. And he says, in the beginning was the Word. This is God. This is God, and it's Him. God is Jesus Christ manifested. He is in the flesh. He is the visible form of God amongst us. This is Jesus. He gets right into it. He says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, is that not clear enough? I think it's pretty clear. Now, I don't think it's easy to understand. I don't think it's fully capable of our understanding, in fact. But it is clear. John says, the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In fact, from the beginning, we see that the Bible talks, and in Genesis, there's a sense of togetherness whenever God speaks, right? We see in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, when he says, let's create man, he says, let us create man in our image. I mean, there's a form of togetherness there. There's some type of plurality, but yet unity, and it's kind of like we we don't understand exactly how this fits. And the truth is, we're not going to be able to fully comprehend how this fits. We cannot, we can't comprehend the divine nature of God within our minds. I mean, it's not like we can contain Him into a little jar and say, oh, we understand God perfectly. No. In fact, we can barely even understand our own nature. We barely even understand ourselves. Really, I mean, if you think it's hard enough to explain how with your brain, which is physical, you can create thoughts that are just not real. I mean, they're not tangible. They're not something that, how does your physical brain create thoughts that are not something you can weigh or measure? I don't know how that works. I don't know how it happens. I don't think anybody can actually get down to the nitty gritty details of it. And then you think we're going to be able to explain God and His nature with all that detail? No. The truth is, God reveals Himself to us, and we go based on the revelation that He has given us. We can know God by His revelation. We're never going to be able to fully comprehend and understand, fully grasp God and who He is completely. That's just not going to be possible. But He does make His revelation clear. He does clarify it. He says that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So, again, we can't get into that and continue on in that, but that's what John starts off with. Very clear doctrinal statement. He says the same was in the beginning. And you know that this is amazing, because Colossians 1:15 says that He is the image of the invisible God. The image of the invisible God. And then in Hebrews it says that He is the brightness of His glory. Jesus is the brightness of His glory, of the glory of God. Now, if Jesus is not God, then Jesus should not be worshipped as the glory, the express glory of the brightness of His glory. It says that He is the express image of His person. There is no way to say the Bible does not teach that Jesus is God. Amen. It's just so clear. How do we put that? How is it said that He's the Father, the Son, and the Spirit? How does this all work together? We're not going to be able to explain that. I mean, any explanation we give falls short. But it's what He says. It's how God has revealed Himself to us. And boy, it's amazing. It says in verse 3, listen, this is Jesus Christ. This is why we worship Him. We praise Him, because it says in 3, it says, all things were made by Him. And without Him was not anything made that was made. Not anything that was made without Jesus Christ. Jesus made all things. The reason you exist today is Jesus Christ. Amen. Everything you know, everything you understand, everything you see in the world, everything was made by Jesus, for Jesus, and it's all through Him. So that's an amazing thing. All things. Jesus is all in all. It's all about Jesus. That's why we're here. We're not praising anybody else. Nobody else comes close. Nobody else compares. Nobody else deserves it. Nobody. Not any other name.
Amen.
None. Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the express image of His person. He is the Godhead fully in one person that we can actually know and see. That is Jesus. Listen to what it says in verse 4. In Him was life. In Him was life. This is Jesus. Jesus is the source of life. He is essential to life. Listen, your existence, and we'll start physically. Your physical existence is because of Jesus Christ. He made you, He created you, and He sustains you. If Jesus decided to stop sustaining you, you wouldn't have life. The only reason you have life is because of Jesus. It says, in Him was life. This is Jesus, your creator, Jesus Christ. Now, that doesn't stop there. Because Jesus is more than just physical life. He provides spiritual life. And in Jesus, you can have spiritual life too. You can have eternal life. Whenever you're separated from Jesus, There is no life. It's pure death. But whenever you're with Jesus, you can have eternal life. And eternal life only comes through Jesus Christ. It says clearly, in Him. In Him was life. And there is no life outside of Him. If you're trying to find life, if you're trying to find eternal life in religion or in yourself or in your good works, like it was mentioned in Sunday school, you're not going to find it. Because the only place to find eternal life is in Jesus Christ. And may that be clear. In Jesus Christ is life, and outside of Him, there is no life. But whenever it says, in Him was life, you got to understand, this is just explaining, I see it when it says it, He is life. Amen. His being is life. He is life. This is Jesus is life. You know that around Him, that there was just life. And in fact, even people that were sick could get around Him and He could heal them. He could give them life, an abundant life. He could give them fulfilled life. He was life. When Martha and Mary were sad because Lazarus died. And they come to Him and they're talking with Him. And Jesus says, don't worry. He's going to resurrect. They say, well, we know that one day in the future He's going to resurrect. And Jesus says, no, you're not understanding. He says, I am the resurrection and the life. Jesus is life. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Amen. Listen, Jesus is life. He is the source of life, but He is just His being. He's life. That's what it is. That's what life is. And so if you are living your life without Jesus Christ, then you don't know life. You don't have life. You're not around life. You need Jesus Christ. That's the point. He is life. In Him was life. Now look what it says. It says, and the life was the light of men. The life was the light of men. And this is an amazing thing that happened. That the life, this is the Creator, became a light for men. God actually, and He says that the light shineth in darkness, and darkness comprehendeth not. The light had to come into darkness to shine for men. We as men are living in a world of darkness, and we needed a light, and Jesus, who is the life, actually became man so that we could be lighted by Him. Amen. He is the light of man. Amen. Jesus, the life, was the light of men. This is what Jesus is. And Jesus is the light of men. Light is something that reveals. Light reveals all kinds of things, right? Light reveals, so light is like the self-revelation of God. God is revealing Himself, and when He reveals Himself, that's what you call light. It's a revelation to us. When things are dark, you can't see anything clearly, right? Things are dark. If we turn off all these lights, we're not going to be able to see everything. In fact, just a little bit, you know, darken it up, and I still feel like it's too dark. But whenever you darken things up, you can't see it. And then you turn the light on, and all of a sudden you see things, right? It reveals everything that's there. It reveals the reality. And this is Jesus. He is the light. He is the light of the world. He is the light of men. Jesus reveals. And Jesus revealed God to us. Jesus revealed God. Amazing. He revealed God's glory. He reveals God's truth. He reveals God's righteousness. Reveals God's justice. Reveals God's mercy. Reveals God's love. Jesus is God's revelation to us. He revealed Himself to us in a person. He actually shone amongst us. That's what it says. And the life was the light of men. He was the light of men. The light reveals reality and shows us how truly it is. It reveals, it exposes, it clarifies, it clears things up, right? It confronts light and darkness. They're opposing, right, forces, and it exposes things. It exposes some things like sin. Marcos Romero, he has this cleaning company that, and he always cleans, and he told me once that he cleans, some of those, bars and nightclubs sometimes. They call him to clean, And so he goes there during the day, turns on all the lights to clean these places. And when you turn on the lights, he says, those places are disgusting. They're just disgusting, he says. But they keep it all down low, dim lights. You can't see much. So everybody just living in filth, walking around in filth, and nobody really thinks about it. But when you go to those places with the lights on, it's a different story. That's true. That's the thing about light. Light is going to reveal some things, right? Light is going to expose and clarify some things. And Jesus, He is the life, which became the light of men. He is the light of men. Now think about this. Man was living in this light before, right? God created man in His image, and He walked openly with him in His presence. He was in fellowship. Remember, there was a time when God was in fellowship with man, and everything was there. There was great fellowship, and man was made in God's image, and it says that Adam and Eve were both naked, and they were not ashamed. They were not ashamed. That's the thing, is amazing. Whenever there's light and you're not ashamed, there was no sin, there was fellowship with God, that's a great, beautiful thing. But then sin came into the world. And sin really broke up that fellowship. Sin took away the fellowship, took away the openness, it became hiding. What did they do? They hid from the Lord. Because darkness came in. This is the darkness. There wasn't the presence of God like there was before. Man was created in the light. They were walking in fellowship with God, but then darkness entered and it engulfed the world. It just filled the world up, right? Sin enters and man hides. By one man, sin entered into the world. The Bible says in Colossians 1:13 that we've been translated from the power of darkness. You see, darkness is presented in the Bible like a realm. It's a realm of darkness. And when sin came into the world, that's what happened. We're full of darkness. And there was darkness. It filled us up. And through sin, man fell from the light and came under the power of darkness. That's the truth. But then there is what we see is the incarnation. And that is where God, the light, entered into this darkness. God entered into the darkness, entered into this darkness to light men. This is what happened. God was made visible to us. He became man, and not just man, He took on the form of a servant. I mean, think about that. Just think about how God actually took on the form of a servant. He humbled Himself, and He became a man. That's so hard to understand, but He did it. And that's what's so amazing about this passage. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And then it says, the light shineth in darkness. He came into darkness. The light shined amongst us in the darkness. He came into the world and He revealed the glory of God. He revealed God's righteousness. He revealed the justice of God. He revealed the grace of God. Jesus perfectly revealed who God was amongst us, walking around. It's amazing. It's an amazing thing. Jesus entered a world that was full of darkness, and He shined in the midst of it for mankind. Now look at that. See what he says? There's three things here. You have the light, which is Jesus, and then you have men, and then you have a place of darkness. And man before was in the light with God in fellowship, but then he fell, and now he's found in darkness, away from God, outside of fellowship. And Jesus came into this darkness to be a light to man. The light, so verse 5, and that's where I'm wanting to dwell on a little bit, says the light shineth in darkness. You know, that's what light does, right? Light shines. Light shines, and it overpowers darkness. When we turn on these lights, it just, boom, darkness was gone. It was light. We could see. And there's nothing the darkness could do about it. Light overpowers. Light shines in darkness. When Jesus came into the world, He shined. And there's no denying it. That's an amazing thing. But it says the darkness comprehended it not. It doesn't say man comprehended it not. It says the darkness comprehended it not. What is it talking about there? The darkness comprehended it not. And that's what I looked up. Because I looked up this, I couldn't quite understand what it was saying there. The light, the darkness comprehended it not. And so when you look up that word comprehend, what does it mean? We think of it as understanding. We think of it as fully grasping an idea. Comprehend, right? Do you comprehend what I'm saying? Do you fully grasp? Do you fully understand the idea that I'm presenting? That's how we use the word comprehend. But the word comprehend is not limited to ideas. The word comprehend comes from the Latin, which means together and to seize. It seizes something together. It grasps something fully. It takes a hold of, or it encloses within its limits. And so the word comprehend means, whenever you look it up on the dictionary, the Webster dictionary, the old one, it says that the first definition that came up when I looked for it, it was contain, to contain. And you think about it, it's just to grasp something, to contain something. Do you have full control over this idea? But if you apply that to what he's talking about here, it says the darkness could not contain, it comprehended, it was not able to overpower, it could not contain the light. Do you see what he's saying? He's saying the light came into the darkness to shine to men. He wanted to shine for men. He wanted men to see the light, and he shined amongst men, and he came into darkness, and the shining bright light shined out. And what did the darkness want to do? The darkness did not like this. The darkness wanted to suppress it. The darkness wanted to contain it. The darkness did not want the light shining, so it tried, but it could not suppress the light. That's what John is saying. He says, the darkness comprehended it not. The darkness could not contain it. The darkness could not take a hold of it. It could not stop it from shining. Jesus came and shined, and the darkness, though it wanted to contain him, could not contain him. There was a real, you could say, battle that the darkness was trying to give. The darkness was not wanting to give in. But what John says is, it couldn't contain him. There was no way. It could not stop it. The light shined in the darkness, and the darkness could not comprehend it. It could not contain it. And boy, the darkness tried to. And the darkness, this realm of darkness, I guess you could say that in this realm of darkness, the face of it would be Satan. I think that's clear. The face of this darkness would be Satan. And Satan tried. He tried to dim this light. He tried to stop this. He tried to contain this light, but he could not. He tried tempting Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was in the wilderness for 40 days on a fast without eating. And you know what? Satan said, I'm going to get him here. This is the weakest moment. I mean, he's a man. Yes, God, the life, became a man. And he says, I'm going to tempt him here. And we're going to stop this. We're going to put this light out. We're going to contain this light. And guess what? He was tempted in all points as we were, but he did not sin. Satan couldn't contain him. The light was going to shine, and nothing Satan could do was going to stop it from shining. He tried to kill. You think of Herod. Herod, at that time, decides to kill. Think about the darkness here. Decides to kill all the babies under 2 years old to put out this light. That's dark. That's darkness. Of course, there was already provided a way of escape. They had already escaped that part. But they wanted to kill, and they killed all these babies. Yeah. Trying to extinguish this light, but it could not happen. They weren't able to. They wanted to, but they couldn't. And then, in the end, what do you think their conclusion was? Of course they tried, they tried throwing them off a cliff. I mean, men were really angry. There was darkness all over, not only in Satan, not only demons, not only this, there was darkness in men. So many men were just, they hated this light. They did not like it. And they wanted to get rid of Jesus, but they couldn't. They couldn't stop this light from shining. And so they came up with the cross. They took Jesus before Pilate, and they are all crying out, "Crucify him! Crucify him! Crucify him! If we can kill him, we can put out the light. We can contain this light." Do you see that the darkness was truly trying to contain the light? But what John says is it failed. John says the darkness comprehended it not. The darkness could not contain the light.
Amen.
And they killed Jesus Christ. They killed Jesus Christ upon that cross. And the darkness opposed the light at every stage. It tempted him and it tried everything it could. And finally they took Jesus Christ to the cross. And at the cross, Jesus, as a man, physically died. Physically died. Now what do you think happened at that moment? When Jesus actually died, it looked like darkness had won. When Jesus died, it looked like darkness had won. You got the disciples, all the apostles, they were all without hope. They had no more hope. They had no more. They thought, well, this is it. We were expecting Jesus to be the victor, the conqueror. We expected Jesus, the Messiah, to go off and do all these things. And now he's dead. And they had no more hope. They had given up. There was nothing else left. And it seems like they thought they had defeated the light. They thought the light was extinguished. They thought the death had prevailed. They thought the threat was removed. Oh, but they didn't know. They didn't know. Even though it looked like defeat, it really wasn't defeat. Because there was an open triumph of the light. Because 3 days after Jesus Christ died, just like it was prophesied before, see, this was nothing unexpected, this was nothing that Jesus wasn't in control of. Jesus was in control the whole time, and he willingly gave his body, his physical body, as a sacrifice, death in the cross, on the cross, and buried in the grave. He gave that willingly to be a sacrifice in order to redeem man. And it was no surprise to Jesus when he comes out resurrected, victorious over death, showing that the light was not extinguished.
Amen.
It was not extinguished. And in Colossians, it actually says that he was victorious. He spoiled principalities and powers, and he made a show of them openly. He put them to shame. Jesus Christ, they thought they had won. They thought they killed him. Can you imagine? This is, what would it say? It said, in him was life. Jesus, he is the very being of life. And they thought, well, hey, we can kill him. No, you can't. He's life. What are you expecting? You can't kill him. If it were possible to kill him, guess what? You'd be dead too. There was no way they could kill him, but that's what they thought they were going to do. And so they killed the being of life. Yes, he died physically, but there was no killing him. There was no way death was going to hold him. His body was not even going to be held longer than 3 days. He got up out of the grave, fulfilled the prophecies, and was victorious over death and darkness and all the principalities and all the powers, and nobody holds any power over Jesus Christ. He is victorious. And that's why it says he is all in all. Jesus Christ was victorious over darkness. And the darkness thought it had triumphed, but it didn't. It did not triumph. The darkness wanted to contain the light, but the light could not be contained.
Amen.
It says the darkness comprehended it not. It couldn't be contained. And do you know that that light that Jesus brought could not be contained? Boy, it spread. You realize that we are 2,000 years away from what Jesus did when He came, and we know all about Him. And we not only know about Him, we dedicate our lives to Him. Our whole life revolves around Him. And if you're not living your life revolving around Him, then you're mistaken. You don't understand what life is about. It's about your whole life. Everything you do, when you go to work, where you go to work, who you marry, what you do on your days off, everything you do, what you do in the darkness, what you do in the light, what you do in public, what you do in private, everything is about Jesus Christ. He is the life, and everything's about Him. And 2,000 years, we're still thinking about Jesus, we're still talking about Jesus. And the impact that Jesus has caused on the world is not something we can even fathom. Everything that Jesus has caused in the world. I mean, so many things that we have today, you'd not understand that you owe it to Christ.
Amen.
You know, you get to go to a hospital and get medical care, and you might not even know that a lot of that is because of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The beautiful paintings that you have, a lot of it is because people were wanting to paint because it was the motivation of Jesus. It was, Jesus had motivation in all of that. People loved Jesus and they gave their life to Jesus, and they were really trying to do everything they could to please Him and to do all kinds of things. The printing press. I mean, you know how you owe that? We owe that to Jesus' life. The impact that Jesus caused. You see, before Jesus died, Jesus had some followers. But these followers weren't even that strong. I mean, these followers were very weak men. Peter denied Jesus three times. This was the Peter. Before Jesus died, boy, the followers didn't look that strong. But after Jesus resurrected, that light, that brightness that shone who Jesus was, it impacted these 12 men that had an impact on the world.
Amen.
And it impacts us today.
Amen.
And His light cannot be contained. Even in countries where they're trying to contain the light, they don't want you to have Bibles. They banish Bibles. They'll kill Christians. They'll do all these things. They still can't contain the light of Jesus Christ. It's still shining.
Amen.
It's probably shining brighter there than it is here sometimes. They cannot contain. His light could not be contained. Darkness comprehended it not, though they wanted to. They could not. The gospel's gone to nations, to the uttermost part of the earth. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The light that could not be contained then still can't be contained today.
Amen.
Jesus Christ's light has shined upon men, and it shines, and it's had an impact. It's had an impact on your life.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
You've heard the gospel. You know the gospel.
Thank you.
Think of what Jesus did. He came into the darkness and He overpowered it. He let that light shine, even though the darkness was trying to suppress it. And yet, look at what we read in John chapter 3. I mean, we know John 3:16, right? Says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Listen, this verse is light. Think about how far that light has gone. Almost everybody knows John 3:16. That verse is light. That verse is out there. It's shining. It's telling people. It's revealing the plan of salvation, the plan of redemption, how Jesus Christ can save you. He doesn't want you to perish, and He loved you. He died on the cross so that you can be saved. Jesus' light has gone and it's spread. And yet, in verse 19, Even though people can be saved, a lot of them are still in condemnation. It says, this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. What? Man is in a problem. Man is in darkness. Man is engulfed in darkness. And God Himself sees our condition and decides to become a man. And He comes to the darkness and He shines His light and He shines to all of us. And then man sees that light and says, "Ooh, I don't want that light." The darkness was trying to contain that light, and it couldn't contain that light. But you and me, we have the power to say, I don't want that light, I want to stay in darkness. Jesus says, this is the condemnation. Light comes into the world, but men love darkness rather than light. Men, how do we, whenever we think about that, it's just, we can't comprehend it. We don't understand it. Why would somebody want to live in darkness? Would you, you know, close your eyes and walk around without being able to see? If you had the opportunity to open your eyes and be able to see, nobody would do that. Nobody in their right mind would want to live in darkness. But men, we do. We do. And He tells us why. Because their deeds were evil. You know, we love our sin. And because of love, our sin, and the love of our sin, we love darkness. We don't want to come to the light. We don't want God's light shining. And Jesus says, that's the condemnation. You've received the message. You've received the light. God has shown it clearly upon you. He's telling you how you can be saved, how you can be forgiven, how you can be victorious. He's given you this light. And yet you say, but I want my sin. I don't want the light. I want to stay in darkness. Well, that's condemnation. That's what Jesus says. He says in verse 20, for everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. His deeds are going to be uncovered. I mean, yeah, this is what light does. It manifests. It manifests. And your deeds are evil, and you love the evil that you're doing, and you know if you come to the light is going to reveal your deeds. It's going to open it up. It's going to manifest. It's going to shine. And you're going to be exposed for what you are. You're a wicked sinner. And so, many men have decided, I don't want to come to the light. I want to stay in darkness. I want to stay in darkness. But he that doeth truth, in verse 21, cometh to the light. You know, you can just be honest. Be honest with yourself. Be honest with yourself. Stop pretending. Stop pretending like you're good, or stop pretending like you got the answer. Stop pretending you have life figured out. No, listen, you need to come to the realization of who Jesus is. He is the light, and accept His light for what it's going to do in your life.
Amen.
It's going to change you.
Amen.
Oh, but you don't want to leave. You don't want to stop drunkenness. You don't want to stop your lustful thoughts. You don't want to stop your fornication. You don't want to stop your whatever you want to, whatever sin there is there. Listen, you know your sin. I know my sin. We know our sin, but you love your sin so much that it's going to keep you from coming to the light. You're going to choose darkness after Jesus went through everything He went through to shine amongst the darkness, and the darkness could not contain Him. You're going to reject the light? Doesn't make sense. But if you do truth, you come to the light, that your deeds may be made manifest, they are wrought in God. You just allow God to work in you, and He will do something amazing in your life. He'll change you. He'll change you. Like He says, and I want to read that because it's worth reading. Let's go to Colossians. Boy, I think that's worth reading. I got the wrong notes here. Colossians chapter 1. Verse 12 says, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet. He's made us meet. He's made us. He took you, and even though you weren't worthy, you weren't appropriate, you weren't good enough, He made you what you needed to be. He made you meet to be a partaker of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have the redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Listen to what Jesus Christ can do for you. His light, if you just let it, if you just let that truth come, if you just believe, if you would just repent of your sin and confess and trust in the work that He did, He can redeem you through the power of His blood. And He can take you away from that powerful darkness, and He can translate you to the kingdom of light.
Amen.
You can have redemption. That means you get fellowship back with God. You get communion back with God. That stuff that we thought was lost and the darkness taken over, Jesus came and He can give it all back. He redemption through His blood, even, I like how it says, even, because yeah, when we think about it, we think, well, He can probably do a lot of these things, but can He even do this? Can He even give me the forgiveness of sins? That's, yeah, He can do that. Even the forgiveness of sins. Your sin. There's no other way. You cannot get forgiveness of sins any other way. There's no other way. But Jesus provided a way. But you have to accept that light. You have to let that light shine. You gotta stop hiding. You gotta stop loving sin and loving darkness. You have to say, I'll come to the light. Amen. Accept the light of Jesus.
Amen.
Don't choose darkness. Don't love darkness. Why don't you choose light? Jesus already did what it's required to light you. He gave you revelation. He's shone upon you. He has shined upon you already. If you've heard the word of God, you have light upon you. And another thing to think about is that condemnation is going to be greater for those who received greater light. In other words, condemnation doesn't come to the same degree upon everybody. Condemnation is going to be proportionate to how much light you received. And if you've received greater light, then you are in danger of greater condemnation. And if God has shined upon your life with a clear gospel message, then He's telling you that you can be saved if you repent of your sins and you come to Him and trust solely on His sacrifice, and you reject that light, then your condemnation is going to be greater.
Amen.
And you need to come to Jesus. You need to humble yourself. If He was willing to humble Himself to come and be a light to you, why don't you humble yourself and come to Him?
Amen.
Jesus shined in the darkness, and the darkness could not defeat it. But He allows you to have a choice, whether you want to accept that light or whether you want to live in darkness. And you have to choose that.
Amen.
If you want to talk about this, if you don't know where you're going when you die, if you don't have the forgiveness of sins, you need it. And you need to get it as soon as possible. And we're willing to talk to you about it. Let's go ahead and bow for a